self-confidence and self-esteem, two concepts we think we understand completely. But what if the distinction between them is actually the key to unlocking better mental health and personal growth?
That's such a fascinating way to frame it. I remember reading a study that showed nearly 85% of people confuse these two fundamental aspects of self-perception.
Well, let me share something really interesting about this. Researchers at Stanford found that high achievers often score well on confidence metrics, but can still show surprisingly low self-esteem scores. It's like having a toolbox full of expensive tools, but still feeling unworthy to use them.
That really challenges the common assumption that success automatically builds both confidence and esteem, doesn't it?
Exactly right. And here's where it gets even more intriguing. Studies show that self-esteem actually follows a U-shaped curve throughout our lives, typically reaching its lowest point in our early teens and peaking around age 60.
That's fascinating. And how does that compare to self-confidence patterns?
Well, self-confidence tends to be much more domain-specific and can fluctuate dramatically based on recent experiences. You know, like a professional athlete might be incredibly confident on the field, but completely uncertain in social situations.
That reminds me of some research I came across about imposter syndrome. Apparently, about 70% of people experience it at some point, even when they're objectively very competent in their field.
And that's exactly where understanding this distinction becomes crucial. Because imposter syndrome often stems from that gap between high confidence in specific skills and low underlying self-esteem.
So if we're trying to address these issues, we really need different approaches for each, right?
Absolutely right. And here's what the latest psychological research suggests. Building self-confidence is primarily about skill acquisition and repeated success experiences, while enhancing self-esteem requires deeper work on core beliefs and self-acceptance.
That makes me think about how social media might be affecting these dynamics. We're constantly bombarded with others' achievements and carefully curated success stories.
Oh man, you're onto something big there. Recent studies show that excessive social media use is associated with a 48% increase in comparison-based anxiety, which primarily impacts self-esteem rather than specific confidence.
Well, that certainly explains why someone can have thousands of followers and still feel fundamentally inadequate.
And here's what's really fascinating about the workplace implications. Companies that focus solely on skill development often miss the mark. Research shows that organizations with programs addressing both confidence and esteem see 37% higher employee satisfaction rates.
That's such an important point for leadership development. How do successful companies actually implement that kind of dual approach?
Well, the data shows the most effective programs combine specific skill training with what psychologists call psychological safety initiatives, creating environments where people feel inherently valued, regardless of performance.
You know, that really connects to what we know about childhood development, too. The way praise and feedback can impact both confidence and esteem differently.
Exactly. Studies show that children who receive process-focused praise, you worked hard, versus ability-focused praise, you're so smart, develop more resilient self-esteem and more sustainable confidence levels.
That's really powerful information for parents and educators to understand.
And here's something that might surprise people. Research indicates that self-esteem is actually more predictive of life satisfaction than confidence levels. A 10-year longitudinal study found that people with high self-esteem but moderate confidence reported greater life satisfaction than those with high confidence but moderate self-esteem.
That really challenges the common wisdom about focusing on building confidence first.
It does, and it suggests we might need to completely rethink how we approach personal development. Instead of starting with confidence-building exercises, maybe we should be focusing first on establishing that foundation of self-worth.
That's such a paradigm shift from how most self-help programs approach it.
And let me share one final piece of research that really drives this home. A recent meta-analysis showed that interventions targeting self-esteem had 3 times the impact on overall well-being compared to pure confidence-building programs.
That really brings home why understanding these distinctions matters so much for mental health and personal development.
Looking ahead, I think we're going to see a major shift in how we approach these issues, both in clinical settings and in everyday life. The evidence is just too compelling to ignore.
That's such a hopeful note to end on. The idea that we can work on both aspects, but understand their distinct roles in our well-being.
Hi, I'm Dick Matthews. That's Matthews with one T, spelled M-A-T-H-E-W-S. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to explore more, I've got three websites I'd love for you to visit. DickMatthews.com, that's DickMatthews.com, where you'll find my books and audio projects. GetOffTheWagon.com, all one word, for self-improvement ideas, tools, and tips. And AdroitStore.com, that's ADROITStore.com, for my latest digital products. I appreciate you listening, and I hope to connect with you again soon.